You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk to a head coach and a player from Wisconsin pro women's basketball team that's about to play for their league championship this weekend. First, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation came to an end earlier this year. His report did not find sufficient evidence that Donald Trump's presidential campaign illegally coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 election and didn't take a clear position on whether Trump obstructed justice, saying they didn't have the capacity to charge him with that. The Mueller investigation itself might be over, but it remains to be seen if the president is completely out of the woods. There are still a lot of ongoing investigations facing the president, including ones tied to his personal finance, his business, and his foundation. Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Before we dig into some of the specific ones, can you give us just an overview of the scope of the investigations facing the president, his business operations, and more?
Yes. So these are very, very wide ranging, and they cover, some of them anyway, cover the issues that Bob Mueller, the special counsel, was looking into, including obstruction of justice and, you know, illegal collusion between Russia and the campaign. Other ones look at Trump's business practices, and a lot of these actually predate not only when Trump was president, but even before he started his campaign. So there's a wide range of issues that are still out there, and somewhere around 30 active investigations or lawsuits into these activities. And so these are going to be continuing for quite some time.
That first part of what you just mentioned sounds a lot like what Democrats in the U.S. House are doing following up on what came out of the Mueller report. How are House Democrats proceeding now, post-Mueller?
Yeah, so there's a few issues that the House of Representatives is involved in, both including the business practices and the follow-up on the Mueller investigation. And that includes issuing a number of subpoenas to people mentioned in the Mueller report. So ever since that was released, the House said, you know, regardless of what Mueller does, we're going to follow up on these, investigate, issue subpoenas. So actually just last month, the House sent out, issued a number of subpoenas to people mentioned in the Mueller report, something like, you know, two dozen of them or so. And so they're following up, gathering more information to try to supplement the record that Bob Mueller put together.
One of the big questions for House Democrats is, are we just doing normal oversight here? Are we doing an impeachment inquiry? Some people want to actually start impeachment proceedings. What is the division, the balance of power on those three different approaches?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a clear line between what is an impeachment inquiry and what is, I guess, quote unquote, regular oversight. So a lot of the discussion now has been between the more liberal part of the Democratic caucus who wants an impeachment inquiry and Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, who says, you know, we should put the brakes on that. But in some ways, the breadth of these investigations in the House make it seem like there's already an impeachment inquiry, even if not by name, that's currently going on in the House, because of, they are looking at a lot of different things. Again, both what Mueller was looking at and dealing with Trump's business practices.
Talking to Paul Nolet from Marquette University about investigations facing President Trump even after the Mueller probe. Paul, what we were just talking about there in the House, that's the headline stuff, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in states around the country. What are some of the ones you're focusing on, especially ones that pertain to the president's taxes and business practices?
Yes. So there are a number of state attorneys general, particularly the New York AG, where the Trump Organization and other Trump businesses are based, that are looking into a variety of potential fraud. And again, some of these investigations, including with the Trump Foundation, go back several years. And they're looking at things such as, did some of Trump's businesses engage in tax fraud? So illegal tax diversions and such, and were they filing illegal insurance claims? Were they just generally involved in things like campaign finance violations? There's a lot of different threads here that the New York AG's office is looking into, as well as some federal prosecutors in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan as well. So the House is one thing, a lot going on there, but there's plenty going on in the states as well.
Right. And Michael Cohen's testimony before Congress, this is President Trump's former personal lawyer. He suggested that the president and his business were giving different numbers for the same property to, say, banks they were trying to get a loan from, to tax authorities, giving lower numbers. They paid less taxes, different numbers to insurance companies. That's the sort of thing, if you had all the right paperwork, you could match up and see if something fraudulent was occurring. Is that what some of these authorities in New York might be looking at?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, there was a big investigation by the New York Times last year that was completed that looked at a huge amount of information pertaining to Trump's businesses. And one of the big claims here, it's very complicated, but the big claim was that particularly Trump's father, when he turned over pieces of the business to Donald Trump, devalued a lot of the assets that he was turning over. So he was able to save millions of dollars, and that could be a fraudulent transaction right there. So that's just one example of what they're looking at. So, some of this has already been put together by organizations like the New York Times, but certainly investigators have a lot more tools at their disposal, including subpoenas, to get this information and try to piece it all together.
That's the Trump Organization for the most part. How about the Trump Foundation, the president's now dissolved charitable organization? Can you talk about why it was shut down in the first place, why it would still be looked at now?
Yeah, and so here there's real questions about illegal coordination between this foundation, which after all is supposed to be a charitable organization, and the Trump family and the presidential campaign. So one of the central pieces here is, was the foundation involved in illegal coordination with the presidential campaign? Was the foundation used as a way to generate money and other resources for advancing the campaign and Donald Trump's political prospects? And that sort of thing would break a number of charities laws. And I will say that the New York AG's office has a very, very powerful charities investigatory team that is digging into this stuff as well.
When we look at the Trump business, the Trump Organization, which is actually a bunch of businesses, and the Trump Foundation, if they're found culpable of wrongdoing, what are the possible consequences for a sitting president who is part of that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's important to break that down in a couple ways. First, there are criminal investigations ongoing, particularly in the Southern District of New York. So a federal investigation. The Department of Justice has already said that a sitting president can't be indicted on criminal charges. However, after Trump leaves office, this could be very relevant again, because after all, Trump will be a private citizen and could be subject to these criminal indictments. But even as a sitting president, a lot of the state investigations, like the New York State Attorney General, those are civil investigations. And the U.S. Supreme Court has actually been directly on point, saying that a sitting president can be subject to civil litigation. So things like insurance fraud, campaign finance violations, and that sort of thing. So that could actually happen sooner rather than later, or at least when Trump is still president.
In a civil case, though, if I lose a civil case, it's going to cost me money probably. It's not going to put me in jail, though, right?
Yes, that's correct. So I think in terms of jail time or that sort of penalty, you're looking more at the criminal side. And that's something that, again, the Department of Justice, the U.S. attorneys are extremely unlikely to indict a sitting president. But on the civil side, nevertheless, a lot of information could be generated, including even the president's tax returns.
A lot of presidential candidates might not want to talk about this, say, hey, we'll let it run its course in the courts. The president, though, he's talking this up. He says, hey, witch hunt, they're all out to get me. Hey, look, it's New York, it's California, states like that. Can you talk about the president's strategy actually using these cases against him?
Yeah, and I think he's saying, like you just mentioned, he's building up a case that, oh, this is a big witch hunt, all these people are out to get me. And it's, Democrats, essentially. And he's also portraying a certain type of confidence, saying, I'm never going to settle any of these cases. I'm never going to give up. I'm going to fight these all the way to the Supreme Court, those sorts of things. And that very well might be true. However, in the course of discovery, where a lot of this information is going to be generated, there are a lot of potential landmines for Trump and his close associates and family here.
One of the biggest ones seems like it might be, I think I saw a couple cases involving the Trump Organization's use of undocumented workers, abuse of said workers, and somehow these workers obtaining fake documents, allegations about the Trump Organization's involvement in that. Given the president's message on immigration, is that a potential landmine, as you just mentioned?
It could. It certainly could be, both in terms of the financial culpability there, but I think even more importantly, the fact that it muddies his overall immigration message if the Trump Organization was involved in that sort of activity.
Do we have any kind of timeline on when the shoes would drop on these various investigations?
It's hard to say because a lot of the, particularly on the criminal side, they're still investigations. And so those could, are generally out of the public eye for this point, and they could drag on for quite some time. However, I mean, some active litigation has already occurred. And in fact, the lower courts have been pretty open to the idea that Trump cannot just shut down subpoenas that are issued by the House of Representatives or prosecutors. And so a number of those cases are on appeal. So I think we're going to hear from those cases probably in the next, potentially even the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to have some action on that. I think the criminal cases are going to be quite a bit dragged out over the next even year or two.
Wow. And over this next year or two, there's this election thing going on. Do we have any sense of what the public thinks about this? Are they are people going to be swayed by what comes out of these investigations? Is there investigation fatigue, if that's such a thing?
Well, I think people's views of Trump are very locked in. I mean, it's quite amazing how polling has shown approval, disapproval ratings of Trump have been very consistent throughout much of his presidency. I do think that, at least on the edges, there's some potential that some bombshells, even if they're, say, financial fraud, not the high-profile Russia investigation type of things, but financial fraud, that could bite into Trump's self-image as fighting for, or making America great again and kind of fighting for, the non-elites that have never had a role in Washington and such. So I think this really has a potential of muddying his message in the lead up to the presidential election next year.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. He joins us to talk about investigations into President Trump post Mueller report.